This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1987. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded June 20th, Antarctica, Canada, China, Cuba, Guatemala, India, Korea South, Mexico, North America, Peru, Russia, Samoa, Solomon Islands, Sweden, Turkey, USA, Caribbean, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. In case you're not aware, World of Radio can be heard first via our website soon after it is produced, and then also on some podcasts and some of our non-shortwave outlets, that is, early UT Fridays. Worldofradio.com will lead you to that. This might have been helpful this week because the special Antarctic broadcast of the BBC World Service, which I mentioned last week on June 21st, was scheduled for 21:30 UT. That's just half an hour before our first shortwave broadcast from the Americas on WRMI at 2200. We mentioned the possible frequencies. They're not exactly the same as last year, but in the succeeding week, we've found out the correct frequencies for this year, following a test exactly 1 week before of four frequencies, three of which have been chosen via Ivo Ivanov. Those are 5875 and 9455 via Wooferton, UK, and 7360 via Ascension. That transmitter, as heard last week, was one of those with a pronounced hum, but that doesn't seem to bother the BBC World Service. That is the annual midwinter special for the British Antarctic Survey. Friends and family of the people wintering over there, send them greetings and play a bit of music. No doubt heard by many others around the world beyond the few dozen it's actually intended for. Mediumwave.info, run by Idun Ritz in Denmark, is a great site for info about medium wave. And they often quote information from World of Radio or DX Listening Digest. But here's something from another source, a rather odd item, dated May 17th. The Jim Pattison Broadcast Group has flipped Classic Hits CK750, as it's known, actually CKJH in Milford, Saskatchewan, to Beach Radio 750. The format has been tweaked and now emphasizes classic hits from the 80s and 90s. A beach in Saskatchewan? Well, that's what they're calling it, maybe optimistically in the summer. Check beachradiosk.com. Thanks to Ted at Radio West for the tip. The Canadian Radio News FB group. Under its previous identity, this station I have heard a few times down here in Oklahoma. This from Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria, also known as Observer or DX Remix News. Frequency changes for CNR1 China DRM broadcast effective June 18th from the Kunming site. They're 30 kilowatts aimed 32 degrees back across China with their primary domestic service. All these had been on 15250, but now there are four different frequencies between 01 and 11 UT in two-hour segments. At 01, 17790. At 03, 21550 for 4 hours. At 07, 17790. And at 09, 9540. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. This week, let's focus on 5040, the tropical band frequency, which is supposed to carry an hour of English at 05 to 06 UT. Usually it's better modulated than the four frequencies on the 49-meter band, also in English during that hour, and in fact, quite often only two of them have been on the air, the remaining two poorly modulated. But June 14th, in the middle of the hour, I found 5040 was in Spanish instead of English. On June 15th, English had resumed, but on June 17th, it was still in English, but now with a big hum along with the modulation. Oh, on this date, it was in fact still on the air after 0600 in English, but they soon turned it off after 0620. On June 18th, it was on in English before 0600, but again with that same big hum. Wiggle that patch cord. Some bad news came from Dr. Edgar Amilcar Madrid, the head of Radio Verdad in Guatemala, the only surviving Central American shortwave station, on 4055. He said the transmitter collapsed at 0230 UT June 13th, and he was unable to get it back on. He then asked for help from the engineer who usually comes to fix it, Ralph Wayne Borthwick in Canada. And then, while waiting for that arrangement, he tried an amateur transmitter on the frequency, but could not get that to work either. And then eventually he found what the problem was. A fuse had blown, so making do with another fuse, he got the station back on the air. On June 18th, he told Manuel Mendez in Spain, "Radio Truth is on the air with full power. When I got the power on, there was a strong explosion in a module, but the transmitter did go on the air with 300 watts. Then I installed a spare module, and it came on the air with full power. I still need to get the 15-amp, 600-volt thermal fuse. That's a very difficult one to get in Guatemala." Of course, a blown fuse might still indicate some other more serious problem, but keep an ear on 4055. Manuel and I were indeed hearing it back on the air before 0600 UT. Manuel Mendez was hearing it from 0430 UT June 18th, and it went off the air at 0630. Joe's Jacob reported to DX India on June 19th that the 100-kilowatt transmitter of All India Radio Mumbai had not been heard for a few days. On 7340, the schedule had been midnight 25 to 0430 in Urdu and 830 to 1130 in Urdu. The home service for another 10 minutes, back on at 1230 to 15 in Sindhi and 15 to 16 in Baluchi. And he said maybe 11935 is also off the air for the general overseas service in English to East Africa at 1745 to 1945. Following up on June 20th, Joe's Jacob says, according to info from the station, AIR Mumbai's 100-kilowatt shortwave transmitter with external services on 11935 and 7340 is temporarily off the air due to antenna problems. It's quite rare these days to hear any stations broadcasting CQ markers or V markers in CW, such as coastal stations, but here's one that's still going I ran across. It's HLW2, Seoul Radio in South Korea, heard on 12923, June 18th at 1346. Ron Howard in California reports on Echo of Hope, abbreviated VOH in South Korea, on 4885. June 18th at 11:56, he says, a month ago, the schedule was changed for the English language lessons called Easy English. During their former 12:40 to 13 UT time period, today I tuned in to find them already in progress and ending right at 1200. One announcer was Isaac, who has his own Isaac Communications Center, ICC, that produces YouTube videos. Then at 1200, there was today's news in Korean. So there have been some changes to their former schedule. And there is an Easy English website as well. Then on June 19th, Wednesday, he says the Easy English podcast was heard from 11:42 until 1200 with fair reception, not only on 4885, parallel on all these, 3985, 5995, 6250, 6350, and 9100. The program was announced as on Saturday, even though he heard it on Wednesday, with a review of this week's homework. Again, with Isaac as one of the presenters. He says this was very readable. Some Mexican information from Tim Hall in California in the ABDX Yahoo group starting on June 16th. I'm researching the next edition of the IRCA Mexican list. I'm surprised at all the new info I'm finding so soon after publishing last fall's big update. Probably the most amazing thing of all is the current Mexican administration's favorable attitude toward pirate station operators. A pirate on FM 105.5 in Tarandacucao, Guanajuato, applied for and was granted a license to instruct a social community station on 1670 kilohertz under the call sign XECSCA. This AM 1670 went on the air in January, and the station's Facebook page brazenly stated they would be back on FM in a few months, despite there being seemingly no such allocation for this market. As far as we know, no one has DX'd this station on 1670, but the Facebook page now shows it's operating on 106.7 FM, and the station confirmed via Facebook message that they have vacated 1670 AM, so we missed it. And then he follows up, I hate to see pirates get rewarded. Another interesting new construction permit is on 1620, with the first seven-letter call on Mexican AM, XECSCGU. It's in Guachochi, Chihuahua, licensed to a drug rehab center, and most likely would have a religious format based on some clues in the licensee's name. This CP would seemingly void the long-standing allocation for 1620 in Ciudad Juarez. Bruce Earl in Texas sends a story from ElMañana.com, a newspaper along the border, saying that radio stations have been silenced. Specifically, in the Reynosa area, five pirates on FM have been taken off the air. The full story in Spanish in the next DX Listening Digest via worldofradio.com, number 19-25. More about the recently reactivated Antichrist pirate, seemingly in California, station YHWH, as we mentioned last week. It's been trying out some different frequencies on the 40-meter band. It was first being heard on 7480 and then on 7485 as of UT June 14th, as reported by Dan Sheedy in California after 0510, and by Walt Salmaniv in British Columbia. Steve McGreevy in Keeler, California, is not too far from the location where YHWH was previously busted a couple of years ago, but now he's been monitoring it, and it may not be so close, although it's always hard to figure these things out. He says, in any event, had a strong signal at 0451 UT using the remote receiver in Idaho at 0500. I also heard him past 0500 June 14th on 7485, peaking at 10 over 9, but with considerable fading. The time seemed to vary between 03 and 05 UT, and he's been on the air almost every evening. But there's something else on 7485, as Jim Barrett points out from New York as he was trying to hear it. There is a station at 0315 to 0330, which is certainly not YHWH, but listed as the BBC in Farsi to Iran via Moldova. That was on a UT Saturday, June 15th, and he remarks, it just occurred to me that if the YHWH operator is an ultra-fundamentalist follower of Yahweh, he might not broadcast on UT Saturday in any case. Walt Salmaniv replies, I think you're correct. I don't recall hearing him on local Friday nights. A few weeks ago, we had a report of a brand new shortwave station from Peru, heard by Carl Hunzik in Czechia or Germany. It's Radio Sur Andina in Sicuani on 4930, and he's been trying to hear it again, but reports in Real DX via shortwave bulletin June 16th. According to my observations, during the last few nights, there was no signal and even no carrier on 4930 between 23 and midnight UT. And there are no new posts on FB since May 20th. No update of their webpage with a non-working stream, radiosurandina.com. Via international vacuum, internet, AM, FM, and shortwave, World of Radio 1987, a non-commercial program allied to the non-commercial website worldofradio.com and the non-commercial publication DX Listening Digest. Our thanks this week for generous financial support from Gerald T. Pollard in North Carolina, who makes a seasonable contribution, this time celebrating the summer solstice, to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. One may also contribute via PayPal, not necessarily in U.S. funds, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. From another weekly edition of Russ DX, more about plans to reactivate a 100-kilowatt shortwave transmitter from Kamchatka to serve the remote Chukotka region in eastern Siberia. By Kamchatka, presumably they are referring to the known shortwave site, which has been inactive for quite a while, at Petropavlovsk. And this time there is no mention of the DRM mode being made. This is from a different source, the Portal Far North. In a short time, through a powerful radio center in Kamchatka, Yelizovo, it is planned to distribute the broadcast of Purga Radio, P-U-R-G-A, to the entire territory of the Chukotka Autonomous Region. From an interview with Nikolai Galamin, head of the television and radio workshop of the city of Anadyr, of the RTRS branch regional center. For us, the best option was to use the capabilities of the Kamchatka Radio Center with a 100-kilowatt transmitter, thanks to which residents of remote areas of Chukotka can receive the signal, having the most simple radio receivers for shortwave. Thus, it will be possible to promptly deliver news and other programs to the workers of the reindeer breeding brigades, fishermen, hunters, geologists, and prospectors. We've already checked the range of radio signal coverage from Kamchatka, about 90% of the territory of Chukotka, which is a lot. Specialists set up a diagrammatic field, and its focus on Chukotka had to be regulated for almost 4 months in order to cover the territory as much as possible. All technical moments are coordinated with a center in Moscow. Info about the frequencies at which it is supposed to broadcast we will give separately. Walt Samaniev says, noticed this on FB from the SamoaObserver.ws about station 2AP. Apparently, off the air. The mast has been toppled off the air until a new one may be erected. It's temporarily off the air until a shorter mast is erected. Then a permanent one goes up. The temporary is 54 meters. The new one will be 80 meters, and the old one was 120 meters high. I wonder how this will affect reception. 2AP is the main station in Samoa on 540 kilohertz. Unless it's over a day path, if you hear a carrier on 5020, it's probably Solomon Islands. Dan Sheedy upon Moonlight Beach, California, reports SIBC, 10 and 11 June at 1320 and past 1406. He says they left their carrier on again after normal sign-off of 1200, weak but clear, thanks to Ron Howard's tip. And Ron Howard reports the same on June 14th, another day. They did not turn off the transmitter at 1200, still being heard past 1336. I was able to confirm faint audio of definite non-stop pop songs. And then on June 18th, Ron Howard reports from Asilomar State Beach, SIBC, the voice of the nation, transmitter still on after 1305, but unable to detect any audio. Via Mike Terry, we have news about this year's special broadcast from Grimeton, Sweden, SAQ, the Alexanderson alternator on VLF 17.2 kHz. Their annual transmission is on Alexanderson Day, June 30th, Sunday. There will be two transmissions starting at 0830 UT, tuning up, and the message at 0900. Again at 1130, tuning up, and the message at 1200 UT. And they'll also be webcast on their YouTube channel, which might be a bit easier to hear. But the challenge is always to actually pick up the VLF signal on 17.2 kHz. They've also set up an online reception report form instead of email reports. That's alexanderson.in.se/reception-report. Also, their ham station will be active. Call SK6SAQ. On CW7035 or 14035 or SSB on 3755. They say two ham stations will be on the air most of the time on June 30th, and the station will be open to visitors between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. local time. That's from the World Heritage Grimeton radio station and the Alexander Association in Sweden. Voice of Turkey broadcasts are sometimes way off frequency. I knew this had to happen sooner or later. To 9515, the English hour to North America at 0300. On June 8th, Kenneth Vitozicki in the Michigan tip sheet says at 0317 they were on 9515.69, going into some Turkish music, which was better modulated than the talk. They were closing at 0353. A strong signal anyway. Meanwhile, back on 9515, presumably not offset, another report of this from Mark Cody in Ontario, who's often complained about poor reception in general from Voice of Turkey. But on June 13th, he had a good signal on 9515, opening at 0256. Nice to hear them on time with a very, very good signal, he says, for a change. But they mentioned that they were beaming to Eastern Canada and Cuba, omitting the USA, something to do with Mr. Trump. Their other broadcast to North American English at 2200 on 9830, he was hearing June 14th, with fair to good reception. June 16th at 0249 UT, Walt Samanev in BC, was surprised to hear WWV on 25 megahertz. At least there were time signals and soon identified as WWV, although we weren't sure they were actually currently active on that higher frequency. I noticed that at this particular time there was lots of sporadic E across the U.S. with MUFs above 25 megahertz but not up to the FM band of 88 megahertz, according to the DXMaps.com website. And by the way, I say when you're hearing something in the 25 megahertz area, you should tune the entire 11-meter band from about 25,600 to 26,500, looking for broadcast auxiliaries, probably in the narrowband FM mode, if any still exist active. There used to be some in California, Texas, Colorado, and Florida at least a few years ago, although not all of them were on the air constantly. These reports prompted others to check, and Mike Gorniak in Minnesota says, I just copied WWV at 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, and 2.5 megahertz at 0400 UT. I don't recall the last time I heard them all at the same time, but it has been decades. Mick Delmage in Alberta did the same after 0400 UT and went him one better, hearing WWVB as well on 60 kilohertz at 0555. World of Radio Monitoring. Just before 21 UT, Saturday, June 15th, I ran across me on a new time and frequency from WRMI, 15770. That is starting at 2030 UT Saturdays. That's on their northeast antenna, but not coming in too poorly here to the northwest. Of course, that's immediately preceding another broadcast of World of Radio, Saturday at 21 UT on 9955. World of Radio has also appeared at least once more on the superstation of WBCQ during tests on 9330.00. They happen to be simulcasting Area 51 Sunday evening, UT Monday, June 17th at 0302, when World of Radio was on both frequencies, a very much better signal on 9330. However, we have no expectation that any of these World of Radio transmissions will continue. We'll see what happens once the final schedule of the superstation settles down. We've had many monitoring reports of their tests, so I'll just generalize for the week ending June 20th. Generally, it's been on the air in the local late afternoons and evenings, but the times vary considerably. Sometimes as early as 2200 or not starting until after 0130 and then staying on the air well into the night until 10 or 11 UT. You can always tell whether it's the new transmitter not only by its superpower, but by its exact frequency, contrary to the old transmitter, which may still be operating at other times with Brother Scare, which is offset slightly higher around 9330.1. And in general, the superstation tests we have found are mostly airing rock music during 1 hour, and a playback of a previous Alan Wiener Worldwide show during other hours, some of them going back several months. We continue to pick up bits and pieces of info about what's going on at WBCQ. On Alan Wiener Worldwide, John Carver heard him say that he's still shooting for a start date of July 1st, but if the antenna work is not finished, they'll only be broadcasting at night, so they can continue working on the antenna in the daytime. He also mentioned that the low-power 3265 transmitter would be running only on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday because of operating expense. This was from the June 15th edition of Alan Wiener Worldwide. On one of those old programs, he mentioned some figures I had not noticed before. He said the huge copper transmission line alone cost $900,000. And also that when running at full bore, the total power consumption, including the 500 kilowatts out of the transmitter, would be 950 kilowatts. On Sunday, June 16th, the high-power test started earlier than usual, and we were able to hear most of Marion's attic after 21 UT with a great signal compared to just barely audible on 7490. Now to WRMI developments other than the new World of Radio time. On 9395 UT Sunday, June 16th at midnight, A new program, Radio for Peace International, was opening, with IDs in French and English, but then the program was lecturing only in French. I was checking then because Alan Gale had found something on WRMI-FB about Radio for Peace International starting Friday, June 14th. The first broadcast Friday at 20 to 21 on 15770 and Saturday, or rather UT Sunday at midnight on 9395 and also on 6070, channel 292 in Europe. The notice says that RFPI has been reactivated, but it is no relation to the former station in Costa Rica, in which case I would say it is not a reactivation. Is it on the air every week? The notice quoted said nothing about it not being every week, but Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria says it's only on the air once a month on the second Friday, such as June 14th at 20 UT on 15770, and then on the following second Saturday and second Sunday. But as should be obvious in June, the 15th and 16th were the third Saturday and Sunday, so more confusion. And this gives the schedule on HLR Germany 6070 as Saturday at 19 to 20 UT, all of these broadcasts in French. And what about APS Radio, another new program on WRMI? Mark Cody in Ontario heard it June 18th, Tuesday, after 12 UT in Spanish on 15770. However, Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria says some transmission changes have canceled that particular broadcast, which was Monday through Friday. Also, the 19 to 21 UT broadcast on 9455 is canceled, according to him, although that still appears on the WRMI schedule grid. Last week, we mentioned that WEWN in Alabama was having some serious problems with their Spanish transmitter on 12050, instead putting out most of the signal in a distorted FM mode just around 12080 most of the day. That was as of June 11th, and we were still hearing this as of June 16th. I notified Glenn Tapley at the station about this, and as of June 17th or 18th, Jim Barrett in Elmira, New York, and I noted that it was apparently back to normal, no more spurs, although the signal on 12050 was quite a bit weaker, so they may have had to turn down the power. Via mediumwave.info, Stig Hartvig Nielsen of World Music Radio in Denmark reports on his late May, early June visit to Guadeloupe, where he surveyed the mediumwave band and found that there are no French-speaking stations left in the Eastern Caribbean. Both 640 from Guadeloupe and 1310 from Martinique are off the air. Not much English either, although of course there's plenty of Spanish. Some of the inactive English stations are Anguilla on 690 and 1610, St. Kitts and Nevis on 820, and U.S. Virgin Islands on 1090 and 1690. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued June 17th. Solar activity expected to reach active levels on June 25th, with ANK indices peaking at 12 and 4, otherwise unsettled to quiet. Solar flux peaking at 69 from June 28th to July 4th, but descending to as low as 66 by July 13th. And that's World of Radio 1987. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week, concluding with a standard disclaimer.